Coming up, a special New Year's Eve conversation about the relaunch of Tech News Today, which happens Thursday. You don't want to miss that. Leah Laporte, Steve Gibson joins me, Sarah, and Jason. We talk about technology, media, lots of things, and we ring in the new year in two different time zones. Coming up next.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
You're watching, by the way, if you just tuned in, this is not TNT exactly. This is our 24 hours of 2014. We're doing a 24-hour broadcast because I realized that we have an audience all over the world. More than a third of the TWiT audience is outside of the United States. And last New Year's Eve, it was like a bummer. It was like the whole, all the programming was focused on New York City after 9 p.m. Pacific. It's like nothing. You know, we're watching reruns. So I said, next year we're going to do it. And it'll be a live celebration in every time zone around the world. And then somebody told me, that's 24 hours, you know, Leo. And I went, what? No, we've actually, we're already a quarter of the way through. So Sarah Lane here. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Leo.
I saw you cry yesterday.
Oh, thanks for reminding everybody.
It's not the first time I've seen Sarah Lane cry.
No, you cried
when the new iPad came out. So it's, you're kind of a teary type. And we want to welcome Mike Elgin for his first official appearance as a TNT and news director of TWiT. Yesterday, as I'm sure all of you watched TNT, and we said goodbye to Iaz and Tom, and that was a sad moment. But I'm excited about what's coming for 2014. There's really no news today unless something happened that I didn't hear about. It's New Year's
Basically,
Eve.
The NSA is spying on all of our iPhones.
You know, Steve Gibson just told me. In fact, you could join us, Steve, if you want. Why don't we get a chair for Steve? And I hadn't been really paying attention during the holiday season, but that the NSA paid RSA $10 million. RSA was a Revist. I don't remember, but they're the crypto folks who created the
Revist,
Shamir and
Adelman, or
I can't remember, but they're three scientists who created. Really, public key crypto, right?
Yes.
And they were paid. Well, let's have Steve sit down and tell us about this, because they were paid $10 million to do what? To distribute a bogus RSA encryption
standard?
So,
one of the things you need for security in crypto is a source of really good, unpredictable random numbers. That's fundamental to cryptography, is you need random numbers.
Now, as we know, computers are not pseudo random number generators in most cases. Software does
right.
Every
time you add 2 + 2, you're going to get 4 on a computer.
Right.
And so the computers are entirely deterministic. And so it actually is a very hard problem to come up with good random numbers in a computer. It's a common failing of these machines. Only now. The price of hardware to do it is beginning to drop. However, with all of the recent concerns, manufacturers like Intel have built hardware random number generators, true random number, using quantum level variations to get unpredictability. Now, no one trusts those because there has been there's been some indication to believe that the NSA has influenced even at that level. So, but one of the things we now believe, as we talked about on Security Now, the RSA was the producer of a major standard package called BSAFE, which is an industry-wide sort of universal set of cryptography functions available across languages, C, Java, you know, everything. In there were 4 different random number generators, or I should say pseudo random number generators, because they just used software. And we became suspicious of the 4th one because of the nature of the way it operated, sort of, you know, where it came from, how was it influenced in its design. And on the podcast, we talked about how it made no sense at all that RSA chose as the default the worst of the three, or the worst of the four. It was slower than any of the others, and we really weren't sure that its quality was as high as it was possible to produce.
Was this the one from NIST, from the National Institute of Standards and Technology?
Yes.
And we learned from the Snowden leaks that NIST was influenced in the creation of this RNG.
Yes. And so then the news that dropped a couple of weeks ago was, and this it was Reuters reported it, and it's since been substantiated.
So this is not one of the Snowden leaks. Reuters got this from somewhere, right. Some other spot.
Yes.
All right.
The Snowden leaks reference was part of vague ideas in the Snowden revelations that the NSA was doing this kind of thing generally.
Right.
But the sources for this particular thing were Reuters.
The important point is that the law enforcement is very worried about the dark net, about more and more communications being invisible to them because of strong crypto.
Right. And
so there's a couple of ways to assault that. One is the most difficult way, which is to create algorithms that can assault strong crypto and faster computers. But because of the nature of strong crypto, that is not a very fruitful avenue.
As Bruce Schneier said, trust the math. Right. The math works.
Yeah. And you get a large enough key, a 2048-bit key or bigger, there isn't anything that can solve that in a reasonable amount of time. And we know that for a fact, right?
Well, we don't know absolutely what the NSA has down in its, sub-basement. But no one believes they have quantum technology.
But that may be a moot discussion anyway, because it turns out the NSA, presumably or allegedly, has also used the easier path, which is to subvert the algorithms underlying this encryption.
And what was so disturbing was what we learned was RSA was paid $10 million to choose that fourth worst.
That's extremely disturbing.
It's very disturbing.
Because the RSA is not a governmental agency. It's a private
enterprise party that was trusted as the innovators of crypto for so long.
Now, Steve, what did you think of their non-denial?
Oh, it was the most mealy-mouthed wording. And, they didn't deny. They did produce a statement where they just essentially asserted
our intention. RSA always acts in the best interests of its customers, and under no circumstances does RSA design or enable any back doors in our products. That's not what's been alleged, by the way.
Correct.
Decisions about the features and functionality of RSA products are our own. So it is a non-denial because, A, they didn't address specifically the allegation.
They didn't say, we did not do that.
And it doesn't have to do with back doors. It has to do with making a functionally weak encryption product.
And so the idea would be if the NSA has special knowledge about the exact nature of the way the random numbers are not random, then that gives them an edge that would allow them to decrypt traffic.
It's essentially unencrypted encryption.
And see, the argument is that it might not only be the NSA who has this edge. That is, anything the NSA can do, other people can do too. Yeah. So when you weaken crypto for a specific purpose, you weaken it globally. You weaken it for all purposes.
Right. Yeah.
Is it possible the NSA, as some said, was misled?
I think that the NSA is full of very smart people. And we told these very smart people we wanted absolute protection against an asymmetric enemy, against people who were trying to attack the country. And essentially, we gave them an unlimited budget and insufficient oversight because Congress isn't as smart as the NSA in this area. And so the NSA did what we asked them to do. We said we want essentially total surveillance without explicitly asking for it. We want the results of total surveillance, and the only way to get that is total surveillance.
Just to crystallize what we've asked them to do, we've asked them to do pre-crime. As in Minority Report, we've asked them to stop crimes before they happen, to come in for Tom Cruise to come
analyze patterns,
rappelling down and jump on the guy right as he's about to plunge the knife into whatever. That's what they do. That's what this is all about. And in order to do that, you have to do some crazy, creepy, probably unconstitutional
over-collection.
Things. Yes.
What we don't know is if it's unconstitutional. Federal courts ruled
both ways
last week over the universal collection of American phone records, which some would say, well, that's patently unconstitutional because, A, the NSA doesn't have the mandate to collect information about Americans, And B, this is blanket. This is everything, regardless of whether there's
although
a crime
the earlier
warrant.
Decision said that we have no expectation of privacy in the collection of business records by, for example, telco suppliers. So it's like when the NSA got the records from Verizon, the argument is these are Verizon's business records.
They know,
and
so
we
why
have no expectation of privacy in business records.
Right. Anyway, that's about the only story I can think of.
Well,
it's a big story.
Well, and what Sarah was talking about was a story that just broke like yesterday, and I was with you, but there was something about them having complete access to iPhone operation.
Yeah, there's a new
Sarah's packing, but if we can, when we get her back, we'll ask her about that. Go ahead, Mike. Mike.
Right? Yeah, there's the general trend of these revelations is that every week, every few days, there's you realize the thing that they weren't hacking. Yeah, they're hacking that too. So now the recent one is a specific backdoor into the iPhone. And Sarah, do you want to address that about the NSA's ability to sort of just run rampant on anybody's iPhone to intercept phones and. And
sorry, I wasn't actually packing. I was trying to get onto IRC. I can't.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's down right now. Anymore. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's down temporarily.
It's the NSA, I know.
It is, oh, well, now I know.
It is somebody, but we don't know who.
NSA is in there. Nobody say anything. What the big question now, and Steve, you know, maybe I'm sure you have some insight about this, is, okay, well, what's going on here? Is the NSA actually getting a hold of physical iPhones, let's say, or Apple products, figuring out how to install something that can spy on people through the camera or other means, be able to access their contacts, and then sending them to the customers who ordered the iPhones in the first place? That's freaking scary. Or is Apple working with the NSA and it's just been really good about keeping that under wraps? If it's the latter, that's completely unforgivable and completely scary. And, you know, I mean, I don't want to say everybody panic, but that's kind of the worst case scenario.
So this is part of the ANT project that the NSA is running, to give it access to contents of cell phones.
And there was a story with some details last week that talked about how it was possible to turn cameras on without the light going on next to it. Because it turns out...
On a computer,
It's a function of the way the systems are designed. We've got, you know, our computers are essentially computers within computers. Mm-hmm. And so there isn't a simple... like wire from the circuit that runs the camera to that powers the LED.
It's all analog.
It's like levels of microcode. Yeah. And so if you can go in and change the relationship between the camera and the light, it turns out you can.
Yeah.
Then you can suppress the light.
We were talking about that two years ago.
And that's why
you said tape it all up. Hey, let's take a break. We are doing a little kind of an informal TNT, and I want to talk a little bit with Mike Elgin and Sarah Lane about what TNT is going to look like in the future. But we're about to head to New Year in Nepal. Have you ever been to Nepal, Sarah Lane?
No, I haven't.
Neither have I. I can't wait. Rob is on the line. Rob, are you in Kathmandu? Where are you?
Yes, I'm in the Kathmandu Valley, actually, in a smaller village just south of the big city, at least.
How exciting. And what brings you there?
Well, we're here for missions work, actually.
That's great. That's great. And whose mission?
It's actually a Christian mission. Mm-hmm. We're Baptist, and it's religious work.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm glad you're there, and I'm glad you could spend New Year's with me. What are your plans for 1 minute and 43 seconds away, 2014?
Nothing special. The whole family's actually in bed already.
Well, I'm glad you stayed up late to join us and help us in the countdown. Mike, you weren't here earlier, but you see behind me, each of those signs represents a countdown in some portion of the world. We've counted down to New Year's Eve in Sydney, Australia, and actually all across Australia and Hong Kong and... Japan, and that we're about to do Nepal. Do you have a pot you can bang, Rob, or any noisemaker?
Probably you don't want to count down in Nepali or something.
Yeah.
What are you doing here?
Do you speak Nepali?
I do. Of course, I'm a foreigner, so I'm sure I have a terrible accent and sound.
We won't know. How long have you been there?
We've been here for 3 years. I have two sons. One of them was born here, actually.
That's great. That's great. And how long do you think you'll stay?
As long as we can.
That's great. Well, 45 seconds away, Have you been out? You're going to make me do this?
I shook my head.
I hope there's a big towel somewhere.
I'm leaving.
Yes, you can blow the horn. Lisa Kensel has showed up in her special party hat. Better give me a towel because these things explode. And Rob is going to count us down in Nepali. I'll tell you when it's 10 seconds left, okay? And
all right.
Come here, Lisa. You're going to blow the horn. Well, because you're going to deflect when this. You see Steve moving?
All right. All right. Ready, 10, I was already 5, here for it earlier.
Hey. Nepali.
Sa. Cha. Panch. Char. Tin. Dui. Ik. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Jason, for the first time, playing what we will hear so many times over and over again, Guy Lombardo and his Flying Dutchman. And stand back because I'm about to blow. Happy
New Year! There we go.
That's the way to catch a champagne. Yeah. We bought 27 bottles of this cheap crap. And what's who knew?
Wow.
When cooked champagne goes, it glows, I tell you.
This episode brought to you by Cheap Crap Champagne.
They're not a sponsor, are they? I hope not. Hey, Rob, thank you so much
not
for
anymore.
Sharing your New Year's Eve with us. Welcome into 2014, and I hope you have a wonderful, prosperous, and joyous new year with your family in Nepal and the Kathmandu Valley. It's great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on. It's an honor to see you all there and be on here with you.
God bless you.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Wow, that's fun. You know, the whole idea here was we know that so many of our audience members are outside the U.S., all around the world. Why not talk to each of them?
Yeah.
And we only have
17 left.
17 left. Actually, you saw that one was at the quarter hour. That's what's so weird is time zones are all over the place.
Yeah, you know, and I should just warn you, the next one is in 13 minutes.
We're going to India in 13 minutes. Get another bottle of Cook's. We're not drinking this. We're just popping it. Yeah, anybody who wants, please.
Someone's going to drink it, right?
Oh, well, I don't know. We have like 7 Magnums already opened. Notice I'm not. I've got to keep going here. Anybody want any champagne, please? Oh, look. Don't give any to Taylor. No. Are you 21 yet?
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess if he insists. This was from Der Spiegel, this revelation about the iPhone dropout Jeep.
Yep.
Is it Snowden material? Because it is a slide from a top secret slide from the NSA.
Yeah, it's definitely leaked.
Der Spiegel's one of the journals that's been leaking this stuff.
Yes.
Remember the very early revelations were leaked PowerPoint slides, and this is another internal document. And like many of these documents, it looks incredibly amateur hour, cheesy,
hokey.
Poorly.
That's how we know it's real.
Yeah, that's how we know it's real.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing they're not.
And laced with jargon, you know, military acronyms.
Yeah. Dropout Jeep is a straight bizarre-based software implant for the Apple iPhone operating system and uses the Chimney Pool framework. These guys are I'm not kidding. These guys are very, very creative in their nomenclature.
I wonder how Jeep feels about this.
Yeah. It's compliant with the FreeFlow project, therefore it's supported in the Turbulence architecture.
Which is, you
that
know,
sounds made up
comes
to me.
In handy.
Let me ask you as a group, do you believe every slide we've seen is real? Or do you think that some of it's real, some of it's not, or none of it's real? We don't really know, do we?
As a journalist, I think we should try to avoid having beliefs, and we should try to avoid arriving at the truth with insufficient information.
And just report.
We should report the facts.
Yeah.
And so, you know, documents like this, and we've had a lot of them, they're hopefully probably going to be a lot more. We have to, our job is to report that this is somebody that so-and-so person is claiming is a leaked document. It's from where's the source? What do we know? What we know is somebody said that this is a document. That's what we know. Those are the facts. Yep. And we don't know for sure if this is, in fact, from the NSA. We don't know if this is real. This could have been planted. This could have been a hoax. This could be lots of things. We don't know. But there it is. It's roughly consistent with the kinds of things we've seen recently, and that's a relevant fact. And so, we don't know, but it's, you know, we have to keep digging at it.
Certainly there is a danger as this goes on that some spoofs will occur and will be mimicking what we've seen and come to know as you know, probably accurate,
right,
just because you can.
Well, especially in this case, because the NSA, remember, is a clandestine, secret, top secret organization whose primary job, as I understand it, is to crack encryption and crack codes and do stuff that people don't know they can do. So the very first thing that every consumer of this type of story needs to be aware of is that anyone who tells you they know what the NSA can do is wrong.
Right.
We don't know exactly what they're capable of. We do know that they've specialized for decades and decades in being way ahead of the curve on not only cracking encryption, but being secretive about it.
Yeah.
Der Spiegel's allegation was that this iPhone exploit is really a subset of a much larger set of exploits for the ant exploits for nearly every, according to this, major software, hardware, and firmware available. But and the reason, one of the reasons it seems credible to me is it is the mission of the NSA, is it not? And I think you could make a strong case that they're doing a very good job.
I was just, yeah.
Of making sure that bad guys, particularly terrorists, cannot use technology to hide, to cloak themselves. There should be a larger conversation about what mm-hmm. they do and whether, you know, who's got oversight and sure. so forth.
Well,
but this is their mission.
And for so long, we've talked about hackers being able to do exactly the same thing.
Right.
So here we have a group of people every bit as smart as the smartest hacker with as much budget as they need. And unfortunately, and this is where it gets a little creepy, I think, the ability to coerce, you know, U.S. domestic corporations.
That's scary.
Sure.
Yes, in order to get their participation.
Yeah.
Although I would agree that, or I would argue, I guess, that RSA may not have understood. There have been denials from employees saying we didn't knowingly comply,
right.
But that $10 million was one-third of RSA's revenue for the year.
Right.
So that was a substantial amount of money back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Reuters claims two separate sources, which is typically a good journalistic standard
right.
for this kind of stuff. But
yeah, and the other, you know, the other thing is that if you compare the NSA with, say, your local police department, okay, that this is a you know, the police departments everywhere are tasked with solving crimes, with preventing, you know, social problems and, you know, solving miscellaneous issues that can be solved with a person with a gun and so on. And if they were left completely unsupervised to do anything they wanted to do, they would, in a well-meaning way, they would
overstep.
Trample all kinds of, that's why we have all kinds of checks and balances. They need a warrant. There's Miranda rights. There's a whole
yeah,
bunch of things.
Defense that attorneys who are like
right.
standing up for the rights of people
that's
who
right.
are not yet convicted.
And these are local people who have nothing more than a squad car and a gun. And we have all these protections. Now
and
you
authority.
Go to the NSA. The NSA is capable of observing all kinds of communication in business, in government. You didn't mention government. They can, you know, they know what the president is saying. They know
yeah.
what Congress is saying. It's really scary what they could do if they were malicious. Now, again, I don't believe that they're necessarily
no.
malicious. They're patriots. And they're doing their job, but they're doing their job without oversight and without the consideration of other consequences, specifically the business environment in Silicon Valley. What are these revelations doing? Like you talked to Leo about the constitutional issues, that only protects Americans. You know, the rest of the world's going, well, what about us? You know,
right.
you guys are having this nice conversation about the Constitution. Nobody's saying, well, you know, is it okay to read the German
Chancellor's?
You know,
we had a long and I thought a very fruitful debate on This Week in Google about this topic and about whether,
yeah.
Does the United States have any duty to foreign nationals
yeah.
To protect their rights? Or, I mean,
but there again,
they might have an ethical,
well,
but do they have a real duty?
And domestic commercial organizations like Microsoft
right.
and Google are saying that this has really put
certain
a chill
business.
Yeah. In their international business.
Look at this Ant Toolkit. Deity Bounce is an Ant product that provides software application persistence on Dell PowerEdge servers by exploiting motherboard BIOS.
Oh, my Lord.
And using SSM. This is Iron Chef, provides access persistence. Persistence is the key word. They can't get rid of this.
Yes.
To target systems by exploiting motherboard BIOS and using SSM.
Who comes up with these names?
Feed Trough, a persistence technique. I don't know. They're very creative. For two software implants, Banana Glee and Zesty Leak used against Jupyter firewalls. Gourmet Trough, a user configurable persistence implant for certain Juniper firewalls. These are all persistent, so they cannot be removed.
Well, and Juniper routers are
everywhere.
Big iron internet everywhere. Routers. Yeah, so this is core internet infrastructure infiltration.
Ironically, here's HalexWater, which is installed on Huawei firewalls. The Huawei, of course, the company owned by the Chinese military that our Congress said, don't use Huawei hardware in the United States. We can't trust it.
Yep.
There's several reasons why you might not be able to trust it. JetPlow, Cisco Pix implants. These are all persistent. Soufflé Trough. They must have an automatic generator. Headwater.
I bet they do. Huawei routers. Choose one word from column A and one word
School
from column
Montana.
B.
There's too many to have to make up ones. Just a remarkable. These are all the documents.
And this was in the catalog of available NSA interception technologies that you're able to choose from.
Yeah. Mike, you made a really apt point, which is I hesitate. It's difficult to cover this without saying, well, this is what the NSA is doing, but we really don't know. This could all be disinformation.
We also have to avoid assuming that the NSA is super competent at doing anything. I mean, this is a government agency. Look at the quality of their slides. Look at the quality of their code names.
Look at the quality of the leak.
Yeah, exactly.
Look, this got away from them.
This is a portable continuous wave radar unit that it can illuminate a target system to recover different off-net information.
I want one.
Whatever it's doing, I want it. It uses Vagrant and Dropmire collection. This is a wireless system designed, I guess. I don't know if this is Van Eck freaking or what, to collect signals that would otherwise not be collectible. The range of products.
The impossible dream to collect the uncollectible.
If this is phony, somebody spent a lot of energy.
Yeah. There was also a report last week. Forgetting which week I'm in right now, but it was last week. Someone, an ex-NSA staffer who wrote a lot of the internet interception technology, was quoted saying, "There's too much information. That the NSA themselves are receiving so much that it's now hampering their ability to find the signal in the noise because there is just too much noise."
Right. That's right.
Nightstand, a wireless exploitation injection tool. If you don't have access to the perpetrator's wired network, you take along this x86 laptop running Linux Fedora Core 3. You can attack Windows 2000, Windows XP, running Internet Explorer 5 and 6. This is an older tool, obviously.
Maybe I will have to upgrade to 7.
An injection packet that can target one client or multiple targets on a wireless network attack is undetectable by the user.
Wow.
I think they've really, if this is real stuff, they've surpassed what hackers can do.
Sure. Yeah.
They have an unlimited budget.
And smart people. I mean, again, we have to assume that they're doing everything possible. If it's possible, then why would they not do it?
They're always going to exceed hackers, too, because if a hacker is able to do something they can't do, they'll hire that hacker and pay him a fortune to work for the NSA, and they do that all the time. They have quite a staff.
Mm.
Another, and speaking
Look
of their
at
staff.
It scroll on.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
just, on.
This is a huge catalog.
Irate Monk
provides software application persistence on desktop and laptop computers by implanting the hard drive firmware to gain access through the master boot record, substituting a master boot record.
That would work.
And difficult to, you could reflash your firmware.
You would just never think to look there.
But you wouldn't think to do it.
Right. You would rewrite the MBR, and this thing would come back out of the firmware.
Exactly. You'd have to rewrite the firmware to get rid of it.
How is this affecting your business, Steve? Are you scrambling, going back to the drawing board to protect against? I mean, do you have just decades of work ahead of you to sort of protect against these kinds of things?
I don't think you can protect against this. It's so varied.
The only thing, we're seeing a reaction now in the industry.
Yeah.
I mean, like, secure chat systems are just exploding on the
which
scene.
Which is great.
We knew this was what was going to happen. When Leo and I first started covering this, you know, we said on Security Now, there will be a reaction. It's like we were not concerned enough before relative to this. Right. And so now the there's no lack of concern and awareness that this is actually real.
Do we have somebody in India to join us for 30 seconds to...
No, we don't.
2014 in India. That's
we can stay
surprising.
Dry, but it's important to know.
1.something billion people. And
I want to point out, this is not the new format for TNT. In fact, let's talk a little bit about Mike.
Yeah.
Mike Elgin is joining us as news director at TWIT. He will be in studio with us. He is at least temporarily ended his peripatetic ways. And actually, you've got a house in Petaluma, which makes me very happy.
Cool. Me too.
12, 11, 10, 9, 8. We're counting down. 7, 6, 5. Get the balloons ready.
Four,
I'm not doing the champagne. 3,
2,
Happy
one.
New Year,
Happy
India!
New Year.
All right. 3 seconds of Guy Lombardo is more than enough.
And a new year.
A new year. Well, we have the retractable balloon drop. Sarah, have you seen that before? That is...
No.
No, yeah.
I think we just invented it.
I'm thinking we keep that here, and we can use it for other things.
And the lights are really nice, too. The Christmas lights that you had flashing.
And we've got a disco ball.
Oh, yeah, that's nice. That's the room mic.
That's when Twitch spies on us. Yours now.
See, Sarah knows. When you see those lights... There's a microphone on.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, Mike Elgin, we can introduce him to that protocol. There's no privacy in Twitch.
I think that's just what we assume.
Yeah, assume. Well, I think there's a sign somewhere
24/7.
That says everything you say or do or think can be recorded and
that
disseminated on the stream.
Basically, it's the NSA theory of...
Yeah.
...of production.
We're doing actually two new shows. TNT will be... we'll keep the name, but really is going to be completely rejiggered because it was Tom's show and it was Tom's style, and we want to do something that fits your style, Mike, and so forth. And then we're going to do an evening news show, TNT Tonight or Tech News Tonight.
Yes,
which will be a somewhat different format as well. Do you want to? I know you're thinking about it.
Yes.
Maybe you aren't ready to reveal your plans, but
well, first of all. All this change 2014 is taking place in the context of radical innovation and big changes in media and journalism in general. And this is a fantastic thing. And what's happening, the biggest and most exciting change is what I call the Twitification of journalism.
I think that's a very good name.
Essentially what that means...
I don't know if the rest of the world would agree.
But essentially what it means is that the talent is taking over control of their product.
Right.
It's happening at Louis C.K. and Jerry Seinfeld, for example, have they're two of the top comedians working today. And very recently, Jerry Seinfeld, who has a show called Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, said, "Oh, you ready to take this to TV?" He's like, "I'm never taking this to TV. Why would I take this to TV?
Right.
This is on the internet. I control it. It's mine entirely. Why would I introduce all of the problems of television?" And this is the big revolution that's happening in media. And I think by the end of 2014, the most important media content will be online. And television, I think, will be much more of an afterthought. And will sort of, there'll be a changing of the guard there. And I think, Leo, you started it here. I mean, you also see a lot of this in print media with the information and courts. Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher are abandoning, in the case of Walt Mossberg, Wall Street Journal, and also All Things D.
Wow.
And they're striking out.
Jessica Lessen did the same thing with the paywall.
Exactly, and they're creating their own thing. So there's a lot of the Katie Couric and David Pogue moving to Yahoo. These are big, mainstream people who have rejected the mainstream. So in the context of all of that innovation, we want to stay ahead. Twit was ahead of all of this movement. We want to stay ahead of the next movement.
I feel like it is a constantly moving target. We need to keep up. Absolutely.
And there are all kinds of different shows on Twit. We're doing the news programs, and so we're much more journalisty, and that's a good thing. And one of the great things that I've seen in the wake of the NSA revelations and some of the other things is a general disgust with the low quality of journalism and reporting.
Particularly tech journalism.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, but we saw it in 60 Minutes, but in tech journalism, the problem is this sort of Silicon Valley echo chamber kind of mentality about news and information. And so one of the things that that we're going to be doing is we're going to be challenging that and essentially doing really good journalism.
Bring
we're going to
back.
Be reporting the facts, yes. Yeah. And we're going to be doing a lot of context and so on. But we're going to stay ahead of the curve in terms of innovation. You know, we mentioned bringing in the chat room and social media into much more into the conversation to collaborate with the audience on the creation and reporting of news.
That's something TNT did so very well, yes, with the subreddits, with the chat. You guys, Sarah, were very interactive with your audience. And it's something I want to do even, and I know you do as well, Mike, even more, because I feel like the biggest problem we have, the one thing that we that still looks like mainstream media is this fourth wall that we have such a hard time breaking down.
Well, and the IRC scroll is so valuable.
You know, our IRC has been down for about an hour, and Sarah was driving Sarah crazy. It was driving me crazy.
It's back now.
Yeah, but not having that,
yeah,
I feel like we're talking to a vacuum.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that's a really important part of what we do. But I think what we're seeing with this New Year's countdown, talking two-way with our audience around the world, is more and more going to be an important part of what we do. And I want to figure out, and I charge you all with figuring out how to do that in new and interesting. And it's a bit of a challenge because you have, traditional broadcasting is one-to-many. Mm-hmm. And people often talk about a model of many-to-many. But it doesn't scale very well.
Mm-hmm.
There's 30 or 40 of us here at Twit. It's probably 10 million of you.
Sure.
How do we do many to many? How does that work?
The other thing is I'm thrilled that you're doing a global New Year's Eve celebration.
I think this is a big deal for
big
us.
Big deal because TNT, we're going to be trying to be much more global. We're not just reporting American tech news for Americans. I mean, I think that boundary doesn't make
TNT
sense on
ever
the internet.
Was doing that
right, and so
I don't think we were American focused ever.
I think it's natural for all of us because we work and live in America. Sarah, you're a global traveler, as Mike is. You spent a year outside of the United States recently, Sarah, just traveling the world. So I know you know better. But I think it's for people like me, it's very easy for us to inadvertently look through the filter of the United States and U.S. geography. I do it all. I know I do it all. I catch myself doing it all the time.
When we were talking about that reprogrammable Stripe credit card, our listeners said, hey,
what about chip and pin?
Exactly. You guys are way behind the times in the U.S.
Yeah.
Right. And we're going to be counting on the audience to around the world to work with us on this. I mean, we want to find out if people in India, people in Bangladesh and Nepal and Pakistan and Saudi Arabia and China and all over the world, if they are turning to Twit and TNT for their information, and if not, is it because they feel that local stories or local relevance is not being covered? I mean,
but we may be clear. I'm not, Sarah and everybody else, saying that TNT was provincial or somehow U.S.-centric. I'm not saying that at all. You guys did a great job of bringing in people like Patrick Bejan, people from all around the world, and got comments from all around the world. I want to do more of that. That's all. And I think we need to be – this is a chance for us. We just had – earlier we had a guy on with the countdown from Osaka. And he said, are you going to have more news from Japan? I said, yes, we are.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I want to volunteer, so we're going to get you his name. I really think that having people all around them. We tried very early on TNT. It was Dane Golden's idea to do a beat check, around the world beat check.
Mm-hmm.
And we did do that for a little bit. So it's something I've always been aware of and something we've always wanted to do better.
Mm-hmm.
And I just – so it's not in any way a shot at anybody or any show. I just think we can do a better job, and will do a better job, because while we are based in the U.S., I don't think Mike's going to be based here for very long.
And the internet is not based on
the internet
in the U.S.
And the internet is not. And boy, it's kind of a shame how Americans really think of the internet as an American property, because it isn't.
I think that one of the big changes in technology is going to be happening in China this year. I think China is ready to make the next transition in its technology culture from a manufacturing hub for the rest of the world, and also as a country that has a lot of cheap, no-name stuff. I mean, what are your top three favorite Chinese tech brands? Can anybody think of three? Lenovo, and then what's the second one? So I think that's going to change this year. I think China is going to emerge, and China is going to be a country that has luxury brands.
I realized that when we were at CES 2 years ago, or last year rather, and the Microsoft booth was gone. Mm-hmm. Across from Intel was Hisense, which I had never heard of, but is a Chinese television maker that wants to be the next Samsung.
That's right.
And I think you're absolutely right.
And I think
those brand names are going to emerge.
And there's a psychological barrier with the external world, and also inside China, there's a Chinese wall, if you will, that separates China from the world. They're assumed to be insular, and to a very large extent, there's so much media within China covering tech. It's a safe topic politically within that country, so there's plenty of tech coverage. And I think that getting like really zeroing in on what's happening in China is going to be a big part of what's going to be happening in 2014.
How about Google Plus Hangouts, things like that? You want to use tools like that?
I would love to. And in fact, I don't know what the barriers are at this point, but I would love to stream TNT live as a Hangout on air every episode.
Yeah, no problem.
Because it can spread virally within that network, and it also is, also on YouTube. So I would love to do that kind of thing. And of course, if you think about all the new sort of media tools that came online this last year, we're going to have a whole bunch more. We'd like to take advantage of those and, be very experimental with that kind of broadcasting and interaction with the, social interaction with the audience.
Well, it's one of the nice things about the way Twit is set up is those kinds of experiments can be done.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, you have a very flexible architecture
no
here.
Kidding. We're seeing that.
It was a game show right here, an hour ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I won. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Okay, I just want to point that out. Yeah. Have you ever played Game of Geeks, Sarah?
You got 50 points for turning the video on.
Are you bitter?
No, no,
you're
no.
A little bitter.
No. You did He's a bitter. Brilliant job.
He's bitter.
It was brilliant.
So I like that idea of using YouTube Live and using G+. I think that we could totally do that.
We're also going to keep
Are you going to keep the subreddit going?
Oh, yeah. Good. Absolutely. I don't see us... I mean, that's a fantastic resource. It's an engaged community, and I love those guys. So we're going to be all over that as before. The other thing is one of the biggest immediate things people notice is we're going to keep it to 30 minutes because I think 45 minutes, 50 minutes is if you know it's going to be that long beforehand, you may not jump in the first place. We want everybody to jump in. And I think 30 minutes in during the day is a good amount of time that people can really commit
30
to.
30 tight minutes.
30 tight minutes. And we just go in there and deliver the news and then end it within 30 minutes. And I think a lot more people will join us.
Right.
So,
right. Sarah Lane, when are you moving?
Well, I'm in the process of moving right now. I just went over to my new apartment, which is basically across the street and around the corner. Not even kidding. So you'd think, oh, maybe I could just, wheel everything across 7th Street, but it doesn't really work that way.
No, it really doesn't.
So I still have to hire all the same movers and pay them the same price. They just don't drive very far. It's such a mess, as it always is.
Sarah, are you going to go yell at the Apple and the Google buses because the rent is too damn high in San Francisco?
I mean, you could argue I'm part of the problem, kind of.
And you're not going to have a big glare from the sun coming in on your face during the show?
Well, I guess it depends on where the desk goes. But honestly, Leo, very nice of you to say that I'm moving up. It's just very different. It'll be fine. I'll give you guys a tour. I'll have internet, hopefully. And all my Cat 5 mumbo jumbo figured out by Saturday night. So
luck.
Maybe we'll do a Google Plus Hangout or something.
Good luck. Jason's also moving on up, right?
Like the Jeffersons.
How do you mean? Living situation?
Yeah, aren't you Jason Howell, who is still very much a part of TNT will be, I think, maybe even more so in the future. You is this a secret? I don't want to divulge.
No, it's not a secret. No, we're buying a house, first house.
And
we're kind of in the process of that. It's
which
in Petaluma.
Town of the,
it's in this
like
town.
I like that.
Called Petaluma.
I like that.
Yeah, we
very
love
nice.
Petaluma. We really enjoyed living here. Mike, great. You're going to love it.
I've been trying to get Sarah to move up here, but she's still, young and vital, so...
Well, I don't know about the young part. I just, I like to do stuff at night.
She likes to party.
What are you doing, Petaluma?
Yeah, this place goes to sleep.
Yeah, we roll up there.
I don't have things like that.
Roll up the sidewalks after about 9 p.m.
Oh, the Starbucks opens at 4. That rocks.
That's cool.
Is that unusual?
Oh, yeah.
Usually it's 5:30 or something like that.
Yeah, 5 or 5:30.
Morning?
Not 4.
Oh,
You know why? Because people commute to San Francisco, yeah, and it's a long ass drive, and a lot of people leave early to avoid the traffic, so yep, they have to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess so.
Yeah,
I was there. It was good.
I've been up since 3. Anything else you guys want to say, or we already have exceeded your 30-minute?
And when does this all begin?
Thursday.
Wow. Now, we are short on staff right now because we lost both Tom and I, but we are looking, and I know you know, and we're talking to people. So we hope to add some people. I want to have people out in the field, too. I really would like to have reporters and so forth. And
I'm happy to jump in.
And we have experts. You know, one of the things that I really want us to do is use the experts we have in-house because, you know, between Steve Gibson and Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley and Andy Inoko.
Content guys.
We got really smart. Who else? Denise Howell, our attorney at large.
Yeah.
We got some really smart people. So
it's so easy to do with Skype. It's just, you know, pop in for a minute.
Yeah. We'll try to use you guys without abusing you guys.
Yeah. You'll maybe abuse maybe them. We'll abuse okay. them. It's okay.
We're young. We're resilient.
What else? Anything else we want to talk about? Are you? I think we're changing the formatic somewhat of TNT. That's still in flux.
Yes.
Right, Jason? And I know you and Mike and Sarah are working on some ideas.
Yeah. And what happens in the evening? The evening version. How is that different?
I don't know anything about. We've been trying stuff out. The idea was rotating anchors, I think.
That's right, rotating anchors. It's going to be a very, very short, you know, stuff that happens between TNT and the evening.
Catch up.
That's right. It could be the morning show for some people in the world. Again, we're going global. But it's just going to be a quick hit news with a little bit of context and conversation. And then, it, you know, significantly shorter than the 30-minute morning show.
Might it tease things for the next morning?
It might. It's, again, it's still evolving.
Yeah.
But we're going to do whatever makes sense and very much... very likely it may do some follow-up and vice versa.
Right.
So if we report a story that breaks, you know, at 8 o'clock in the morning, we report it at 10:15, and then by 4 p.m. something has changed, then we'll do a follow-up on that.
Well, and that also fits with this notion of being connected. I know oftentimes we'll do our Security Now podcast, and some viewer will send back some new information as a consequence of what we did, where it's like, oh, shoot, you know.
That's right.
Glad to know that, but now we have to wait a week. And so you'll only have to wait a couple hours.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. We're also going to be focusing on breaking news for TWIT as a network. So look out for that. But
Neat.
Yeah. Well, it's always been our most, from the point of view of live, but even in general,
the red screen.
It's been the most watched thing we do. I think our top 5 shows.
Right.
For downloads as well as live viewership are all breaking news stories.
And those are the big breaking news stories. But I'd also like to get us to be doing the smaller ones in a much more concise way, maybe a ticker on the screen or something like
that. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out.
I think there was a way to notify all of the community that there was
something
happening. I don't
mind breaking in. You know, we're doing security now and something happens. I don't mind going over to the news desk and getting a quick update on that, and we'll edit it out of the download, obviously.
You get to touch your ear and say, this just in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fantastic.
I don't mind doing that. And all of this, you know... Part of this is an evolution of TWIT. Remember, TWIT started as just like, Steve's was there, so he knows, downloadable audio podcasts. There was no live presence at all. We did add video, which Steve resisted for the longest damn time, because he, like me, thought, well, why would anybody want video? It's just two guys talking. But people did want video. And the big gulp and the big kind of challenge was going live video, live audio.
Yeah.
And that's expensive, and we had to build a very expensive studio. We had a lot of capabilities and a lot of staff to do it. And it has, I mean, right now it's not a big part of our overall monetization, but I just really feel like there needs to be an easy way where you can just, like a radio show or TV show, turn on the dial. And if there is, and breaking news to me is that's part of the point of breaking news is because we're live, there's two main reasons. One, well, there's three. One is the energy is great for the hosts, and it's much better for hosts to do live shows, right, Sarah? Always was more fun doing the screensavers than a pre-recorded show.
I mean, I do i5. I guess you can watch me do it live, maybe not for very long, but yeah, you know, I like both things. I like a good live to tape format. I think it keeps us honest. And yeah, it keeps the energy up. And Leo, you know, and I've been doing live programming.
Basically
my whole career has been around live programming, and there's nothing like it. You know, it's a rush like nothing else. It probably has made us all completely insane in a certain way, but it's fun.
So one is it's more fun, but two is it's the only way to be interactive. You can't have an interactive show that is not live. It's not interactive if it's not live.
Right.
I think that's very important. There was a third one, which I
forgot. And what I was thinking is if something breaking news that's technical, you don't go to CNN for that.
Right.
You go to Twit if you actually want to know from the geeks and the gurus what this means.
Right.
That's right.
So I do feel like, although the market has not in any way indicated
validated it.
Live is in our future. Oh, the third one is that it's easier. That it just really is easier for the end user. It's very, you know, to figure out how to get security now, you got to figure out where it is. You got to download it. You got to put it on something you can listen to it. It's too many steps. And while security now, in fact, one of the reasons we have that our geekiest shows are the ones that do best is those are the people who are best able to figure that out.
Yeah, right.
But really, to provide people with real
or willing to, or so committed. To go to the hassle.
And Steve and I have talked about that, the addiction factor. We really do need to up the addiction factor. So anything you can do and inject crack, heroin, nicotine, anything into your shows, please do. But if we can make it easier, if we can make it like hot and cold running water where you flip it on. So there's a big news story. Amazon's down. What's going on? I want people's natural reactions. Quick, go to twit.tv. Quick, turn on Twit.
Sure.
And know that we'll be doing that. And in order to do that, we have to have a news team. We have to have people there. And we have to be willing to do that.
And we have to be consistent.
It's a bit of a commitment.
We have to be consistent and reliable enough so that people can also turn it on. And if they don't see the ticker, they know, well, there isn't a breaking news story I should care about right now.
That's right.
One of the things that happens nowadays is there's a breaking news story. It hits Twitter. As soon as it hits Twitter, you can't separate the BS from the hype, from the lies, from the hoaxes and all this kind of stuff. And it takes hours for everybody to figure it out. And we can step in there and know what people are saying, know what people are being misled about on Twitter, and we can set the record straight. Life.
Is there enough breaking news to do that? I mean, we lump into breaking news product announcements, which isn't really breaking news. But
you can there are breaking news Twitter feeds that break 10 stories a day. That's too much. I think there are probably maybe 2 or 3 or 4 important breaking news stories a week that are worth sort of interrupting people about or bringing to people's attention.
Right,
but they're always going to be breaking news.
Yeah.
And people have to go somewhere to figure out what's going on. Everybody wants to know. And the news cycles are getting so tight nowadays that when something happens, there's a period between when the news first breaks and when the mainstream publications start reporting it. It's maybe half an hour, 45 minutes. And we need to own that. Yeah. We need to be there.
One of the things that I see, too, is I'm impressed by how well-informed our audience is. I get a huge now amount of suggestions for content for Security Now during the week from people saying, hey, this happened. What does it mean? And so it's the interpretation of the news, which, we can uniquely bring, which isn't available elsewhere.
In the same way that Apple's expensive Apple products attracts buyers who buy a lot of stuff, which is one of the reasons Apple is so successful. Smart shows attract smart audience,
right?
And then they can make the smart shows even smarter. So I think that's the golden Twit.
I've never wanted to dumb down. That was the main lesson I learned in broadcast media for so many years.
Exactly.
They always want you to dumb
obviously,
down.
You know, part of any really successful breaking news show is
cats.
Fur.
It's cats, because cats run the internet. Anybody who watches Twit knows that that's true. So I don't want anyone to think that there'd be fewer cats.
No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. What, which cat is that?
This is Sammy.
Oh.
How do you not know the difference by now?
All I see is a black blob. It must be a Skype.
With a couple eyes.
With a couple of eyes.
He doesn't photograph well.
He's basically a black hole.
Seems very
pasty. Photography. All the light gets sucked into his fur.
Just monochromatic.
We do have, Steve Gibson, we have a smoosh box. I bought a smoosh box.
I did too.
Analog X's texting box. We could use that for breaking news.
Because that's what I was thinking. It's some way to notify the audience.
If you want, Mike, we can set that up so that you can go to the TNT or the tech. Actually, we probably won't call it TNT page, but the Twit News page and sign up for breaking news alerts via your smartphone. We could do that.
Yeah. And I think that's the way.
I would like to do that.
So, do that. Go out. Via social media and
right.
My dream
certainly with Twitter and Google
is a
Plus.
Ticker. Even with
oh no, we can do a ticker.
Even when recorded programming is taking place, a ticker that doesn't
we can do that,
part
right, Jason? We have ticker capability.
Yeah, I mean, committed to this same capability that allows us to do this.
You know how we're doing that? Do you know how we're doing that?
No,
it's a web page with a blue background.
It is
really
with a green background.
King,
here, I could actually let's see here.
We're
yeah,
king.
There you go.
There it is. That's how we do that.
Whatever it takes, man.
Coming up in 5 minutes, we're going to say Happy New Year in Tashkent, Russia, Pakistan, Tajikistan, and Turkmenistan.
I'm not sure we have someone for this one.
All the stands will celebrate.
Is there Uzbeki, Beki, Beki stand?
And then
in there somewhere?
Right after that, Uzbeki, Beki stand.
They have their own time zone.
And right after that, we are going to get ready for Mac Break Weekly because we are actually hewing to our normal broadcast schedule for reasons I don't fully understand.
Amazing.
Thank you very much. Mike, I'm really glad you're here.
Thank you.
Welcome to the
team. Happy New Year to
you. I couldn't be happier about that. Steve, always a beloved member of the team. The second podcast we did, and Steve and I made a blood pact yesterday to never stop doing Security Now until one or both of us are dead. And Sarah Lane, I offer you the same deal. Just stick out your finger and I'll prick it now. No. Ouch.
The limits of live television.
Sarah Lane, of course, also hosts iPad Today. We're going to do a show Thursday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing a show Thursday.
Yep.
Just show up. I'll bring the noise. You bring the funk.
Bring in the funk since 1984.
Jason's supposed to bring the funk.
I can do that. I'll bring my bass in.
Right. Jason Howell, also really, really great to have you as part of the team here.
Thank
Jason
you.
Also hosts All About Android.
That's Sarah right. Later tonight.
Also hosts, you're going to do All About Android tonight?
Yeah, it's a normal Tuesday
Holy
for me.
Holy moly.
Tuesdays are normally my 12-hour day, so it was like, what is my shift
What's
going to be?
What's the big deal?
It's going
12
to be,
hours.
Yeah, exactly.
It's your normal shift. Why, if Jason can do it, I can do it twice as long.
That's right. You're joining us on All About Android,
I am.
Right?
I have to be on all the shows.
All right, good.
That's kind of part of the deal. Because I don't want anybody to think I'm going in the back and taking a nap.
Well, I mean, if you want to lay yourself out on the table and
I
take
might
a
just
nap
wander
there.
Through this set. It depends how I'm feeling by that time.
I'll understand.
I'll be an hour 14.
I have a good feeling about it. I think you're going to be on your feet and crank them.
It's because of the slippers. Slippers are what's making it all possible. And I will be on NSFW.
Excellent.
The show that I've avoided all this time so I didn't have to cancel it. Taylor
Kerris. You may only want to rest your voice from time to time so that the voice lasts.
Voice. Yeah. Sarah Lane, i5 for the iPhone, iPad Today, the Social Hour. And soon, we really want to look at doing a new show with Sarah Lane, which we are thinking about. Cogitating.
You already told everybody about it in chat yesterday. I saw that.
Yeah, but that's different. Chat's different from the real thing. Chat's not on the air.
Twizzle this weekend.
We want to do a show for cord cutters, so we're going to work on that.
Because you know I'm a cord cutter.
You're the actual. You saw me say that. You're actually the only one here. I have cable TV, but you're a cord cutter. You've cut that cord right through. So
yep.
All right. Just thank you, Sarah. I'll let you go pack your boxes and get your cart so you can roll your crap down the street. All right, sweetie.
You
see
you. You guys have a great little New Year's.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Bye, Sarah.